ಗಣನಾಂತ್ವಾ ಗಣಪತಿಗುಂ ಹವಾಮಹೇ ಕವಿಂ ಕವೀನಾಮುಪಮಶ್ರವಸ್ತಮಂ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠರಾಜಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಸ್ಪತ ಆನಶೃಣ್ವನ್ನುತಿಭಿಸ್ಸೀದಸಾತನಂ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾಗಣಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ. ಓಂ ಸಹನಾಭವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಿಟ್ ಯೂರ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಕಂಫರ್ಟಬ್ಲಿ. ಲೆಟ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ರಿಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸ್. And can take a few long and deep breaths. As the text had pointed out in the last verse, now that we're looking at the totality, samashti, or if we want to say it, Brahman, then in order to access this, I have to, first of all, drop the different qualities, because the qualities aren't of Brahman. You want to see the pure water, you can't get caught up in the wave or caught up in the whirlpool. You want the water itself. And also pointed out that it's not an object of the senses. That the eyes can't see, ears won't be able to hear, none of these. It's not possible to find it by any pramanam, any means of knowledge of senses or mind. So what happens if I put these aside? I put away the hearing. I put aside the touching, the seeing, tasting, and the smelling. What if I put these aside? I bring my attention outwards, but not using the five senses. I don't use the mind, meaning some sort of imagination or inference. I can only use my subtle attention since by not being attentive, I'm going to race to what I hear or what I think or what I feel. mind gets lost. Mind wants to measure, wants to quantify, qualify in some way. But this can't be grasped by the mind. That's why we say that it's aparoksha jnanam. Aparoksha, not through senses, not through mind, not through any medium. Meaning immediate knowledge, direct knowledge. It's not something I can try to hold on to. Holding on to again, the hands will grasp onto something, the mind will grasp onto something. I want to place it in the memory and hold on to it. That also cannot be done. Because sat, the pure existence, or presence is not something I can grasp. It's the constant presence that I miss, because I'm caught up in grosser things, in the senses, in the physical, in the mind, etc. So I said, if I put nama rupa, name and form, meaning mind and senses, then aside, then the one presence is always there, ever present. Not something new, not something that I don't know, but I don't notice it because I'm caught up in everything else. Sargastiti prarahe tumachintya shaktim Vishveshwaram vidita vishwamanantamurtim Nirmukta bandhanam apara sukhamburashim Shri Vallabham vimalabodhaghanam namami. So as we started last time, the text shifted to the tatpada vichara, right, to looking into the samashti, or the totality, after it finished looking at the vyashti, or the individual. So we started that, and today we're on verse 30, which is actually the continuation. The two verses, the 29, 30, are one sentence, but we split them up. So this is pointing out about the totality, about the tatpada, that. Before is about tvam, or I, the individual. So let's see what the verse is saying. Nirastatatishayanandaha Satya Prajnana Vigraha Satta Swalakshana Purnaha Paramatmeti Giyate. They didn't write Purnaha, they just wrote Purna, but that would be a typo. Because for those interested, there's a all saying in masculine, so it's masculine, it has to stay with the masculine gender, so it would have to be Purna here. And also it's all talking about Paramatma, and Paramatma gender is masculine, because every word in Sanskrit, masculine, neuter, gender, or feminine like this. But in any case, one who is the nature of unlimited joy, who is the embodiment of existence and knowledge, who is self-existing, whose fullness, unlimited, is called the universal self. So very nice how here in the text also is using now Paramatma, not Brahman. It can be used interchangeably, of course. But when you say Paramatma, you're saying universal self. So self, you're not saying Brahman can seem something more distant like this, which, of course, as we said, as long as I look at it as the other, then it stays far away from me, which is what is usually done in the religious circles, is the God is somewhere away. I have to get there, right? And when I die, maybe I'll get there. I sure hope so. Like this. A lot of people think of it this way. Here, Swami Tatvirananji, one thing he likes to say about it is we always think it's on the other side of the river. We leave it there. So what happens is, no, it's right here. So when you say universal self, it is still self, right? Jivatma, individual self. Paramatma, universal self. From one perspective, one angle, jiva, right? The self with the through the lens of jiva, of individual. And paramatma, the self through the lens of the universal. But it's the same one. That's in the end what we get to. But here it's talking about, okay, look at the universal now. That's what it's pointing out. So here gives a few other pointers. As we said, all these can be pointers. And pointers, more than pointers specifically to the thing, will be pointers negating. That's what we said, that we're going to see more negation than actual pointers, because really the issue is the misconception. Just like in the meditation today, put aside hearing, put away seeing, put away thinking. Now what's there? Right? You can't say nothingness because you feel there's something. You say, yeah, I feel, but it feels empty. What? Well, you're something. Otherwise you'd say, yes, there's nothing. But yes, there is some presence, which you might call it nothing because it's empty of everything else, but it's not that there's nothing. If it's nothing, then you'd feel like it's some deep sleep that you're not perceiving, but you are. There's like some direct perception like this. So in any case, so the negation is the most important thing. In the second term given here, satya prajnana vigraha. So satya, right, sat. What is the substance? What is the existence, right? And prajnana, which is the consciousness, vigraha. So this is its nature. What is the embodiment here? It's saying embodiment that has this nature. Now, one thing is this, a very interesting thing. People want to find the God, right? Or want to find universal consciousness like this. So what happens is You have to go search where you know something is, not where you think there might be. Maybe there's in some faraway location you might find something where you already know that specific thing exists in a certain place nearby. Why go far away? First, look nearby where you know that it is. So where do I know there is consciousness? Within me. I know I'm a conscious being, right? Anything else, consciousness anywhere else, in anything else, is just inferred. I know I'm conscious, all of you, I'm inferring that. And I can't experience consciousness somewhere else. It's only firsthand, right? Only direct experience. So that's why when I want to find the consciousness, I have to start with myself. I say that God is a conscious being. Okay, God is a conscious being. How do you know that God is a conscious being? Oh yeah, God must be a conscious being. Okay, very good. But so you'll go and sit in front of the God, and now it's like in some other special person. That's what so many of the religions, they put the God as some special person. Okay, special person, you know, that special person. How do you know that's, how's that different? Like, so, but the consciousness you know within you. Now, one interesting thing here, we put everything aside like we just said, we said we're doing, because if I want to go to the substance and see the substance itself, I have to put aside the temporary attributes. Like, for instance, I want to study water, H2O, right? Now, if I want to study the nature H2O, I have to put aside liquid, I have to put aside solid, I have to put aside gas. That's just the temporary condition, but I want to look at H2O itself, right? Just because it happens to be in that form. Or better yet, better example than that even, because they were giving some change, is it can be in the cup, so it's in the form of a cup, it can be in a bowl, it can be in a river. But the thing is, I want to look at the water itself, not get caught up in the external form that's temporarily being held in, because I want to look at the thing in itself. So here we put all those things aside because I'm getting distracted by them, where I want to look at the thing itself. Now, when I look at the pure existence, like we tried to do a little bit, now the pure existence, you can't find any attributes there, right? Where is it? But you'll say, yes, it exists. And how do I know it exists? Because I'm aware, right? Because I put all the stuff from my mind aside too. When you really just look at it, where is the individual? When you put aside all of the ideas and the senses, where is the individual? Very much like deep sleep, but while you're awake. But now you're fully aware. So where's the individual? Individual's gone, but awareness is there. So the chitta is there, prajnanam is there, and the sat is there. Can you find any beginning end to the sat then? Any beginning end to the chit? To the consciousness or to the presence, existence? You can't find any beginning or end to them. You find the beginning or end when the mind starts coming in. Again, remember your deep sleep. In the deep sleep, there's no beginning or end. It's spaceless, timeless. Because if I'm looking now just at the one presence like this, then what happens is the limitation will be there because the mind comes into the picture. Oh, I can only expand my attention so far. That's mind, right? And I can only focus it for a few moments, a few seconds, then my mind goes to something else. Again, I'm thinking of time. When you're actually looking at that moment, there's no space-time when you're really observing it. So what happens is, yes, so that's where they're going to merge. So that's why for the universal consciousness, Paramatma, I'm not going to find some other consciousness there. That's why, again, we started with the Tvampada, with the individual, is that consciousness is the consciousness. That consciousness is me too, like this. Now, this is one reason why you'll never find consciousness, another person, another being, you'll find the consciousness there, is because the consciousness isn't an individual, right? When I drop my individual, the idea of the individual, the consciousness is universal consciousness, meaning it's not limited. But I have to drop the whole idea of the limitation for that. So this way, the sat seemingly is outside. Seemingly sat, the existence, the material world is outside. We're calling it material world, it exists. Everything exists, right? You have, why we say it exists, you have any object you have is made out of some sort of particles and small. You keep going down, down, down till you get to the absolute substance. We call it Brahman because then it's spaceless. So or sat, the existence. So your sat, pure existence, is there. The absolute substance. Break it down completely. But then when you're looking at it, then the chitta is looking at it, the awareness. And to really look at it, you have to drop the whole idea of the individual. Otherwise, that's the mind, the individual. The mind is, where's the whole idea of yourself as individual is in your mind. So this whole thing, when both are dropped, then that's the only way you can access it. And then, can you separate, okay, there's the pure existence there, and there's the consciousness, observing it. If you want it first, I think I'm observing it. It'll point it out in another part here. So what happens then is, you can't separate the two. That's the interesting thing. Because it seems that these are two different things. That's why you can say the sat and chit is the presence. Because, yes, I sense something. I sense. But there's no other thing there. Right? There's just the being and knowing. You can't separate. So it seems when I'm limiting myself, I'm knowing. I can see, I can hear, I can think. And there's objects outside. I see on the screen, I see on the table. So there are objects. Those are the existing objects. And I'm the conscious being. So I separate the two. But the thing is here, when you really look closely and put the things aside, you can't separate the two. It's inseparable. There isn't sat and chit. Sat chit is one and the same. Existence, consciousness, one and the same. Okay, that's again why we say we can't say they're attributes of Brahman, of the universal consciousness. That is what it is. So this is what happens, that's its nature. So it's an important thing not to think that the consciousness is some other consciousness somewhere else. It's just that I take it as though myself as an awareful being is limited in some parameter, but that limitation is not a reality. It's an idea. It's an idea. So that's why we say universal consciousness is the sat-chit. Okay? Like this. Now, what happens is, the first term that was given here, nirastati shayanandaha, nirasta atishayanandaha. So atishayanandaha, there's going to be joy, and it's going to be greater joy. We have gradation of joy in our daily experiences, right? We get some nice news, I'm happy in this, right? There's some joy. I taste something very good I haven't had for a long time. Oh, very nice. There's some joy. So there's gradation of joy. Sometimes more, sometimes less. It's always gradation. So people are trying to be happy and saying, oh, I want to be happier like this. Like, you know, some of us here, we live in Fremont. We're in the happiest city in the United States. Oh, somebody told me it's second happiest. Maybe it was a later survey. So now we won't be as happy. We'll be almost as happy as before. 95% that we were happy before. Like this. So these are gradation. So any experiential happiness is going to have a gradation, because let's say I can be so much happy. If you can be so, so much happy, no matter what number you give to it, it can always be a little more. Let's say you said it's 100%, but it lasted for a minute. Well, it can last for 70 seconds, right? Whatever it is gradation. You can always, experiential, this is how it's going to be. But now you take it when I look at the sat-chit, when I see just the one presence, so I dropped everything, so awareness, presence become one, sat and chit become one. Where's the idea of joy or lack of joy? Is there any idea of it? No idea of it. right? What happens is, the moment I feel limited, then there's some lack of satisfaction. The unsatisfactoriness of everything is there. And maybe it gets, you know, goes down a little bit here and there, but it never gets fully fulfilled. So I'm looking for it in something or the other. This is what happens. I'm looking for the satisfaction, looking for my happiness in this. So I'm trying to get to that. And in that way, I can never really get there because I feel I'm there, but where I'm there, it's just for a short time because, you know, that state of mind goes away and then it's gone. It's kind of like the saying that the clock that is stopped will still be right two times a day, right? So if I chance aligns, I'm content for some time and then goes away. So in any case, so experiential happiness is one thing. And it gives us a glimpse of this because when I'm happy, then I'm not, now there's joy. Meaning I'm content now, I'm not running after anything, I don't need anything. But then I think of it that it's because of a specific situation. But if I look at it, the moments of joy, where's the individual? Where's the seeking? Where is there trying to be something? None of it is there at that time. But then I take it because it's something conditional. Because that condition, some condition, then my mind got out of the way, it's not disturbing me, so it's easier for me to see it. So that's why we say, you see, when satam chit, when we see that it's just, that they're not, when we see they're one means there's no limitation in them, then ananda is there. Not experiential ananda, but there's no seeking of joy, happiness. Because my nature. If it was missing, I'd be seeking for it still. Yes, I'm all expansive awareness and the one presence, but I still want to be happy, right? That feeling, but that feeling's not there, right? Like the deep sleep is a very good indicator because deep sleep, I put almost everything aside. I put my body, my mind aside, and it's so wonderful because I've dropped all these extra layers. So it's a very nice indicator that shows when we put them aside, then that's what I'm looking for. Okay. So these two are pointing out that Satchit Ananda is my nature. And the cheat, I don't have a question that it's here in me. Sat meaning what is the substance of everything? I have no question it's outside. And when I see that there, when I put the limitations aside, the limited ideas aside, they as though merge. They don't merge, it's just I see they're not separate things. And that's the Brahman. And then the Ananda is naturally there because there's no seeking of happiness or anything. No, I don't need to get anything, become anything to find my contentment there, my contentment. So this is where the Ananda. So this one thing with the Ananda, which is one of the most confusive terms, is people equate it with some emotion, some feeling, experiential ananda, right? They go, they have some very nice experience, some very nice meditation, some big puja, some chanting, everything, they feel very uplifted, oh, this is the ananda. Well, they can think that, but then what'll happen is pretty soon that's going to go away. And then what? I remember when I used to go, spend a few days, like in Canada, usually in Canada where my guru was. He would travel, but see him there. You go, you'd come back, you'd feel like that's it. Everything is set. You've been uplifted, that's it, you know. And you know how piece of paper, it doesn't fall at once. Your stone just drops. Piece of paper, you drop in, it kind of takes some time back and forth. So within a few days, you're back to where you were before. Say, okay. So you're in some nice energy, something uplifting, so picked you up. So it gives you a nice clue. Yes, there is something, but you think it's something experiential. You're caught up in it. So that's the tricky thing, ananda, not to think it's some blissful experience. But when we drop the limitation, then there's no seeking for joy because you are that. Then another point it gives here, it says, sata swalakshanaha. Sata is the existence, because sat is it. Sat means what the is, what is, and sata, existence, isness. So isness, existence. So swata, swalakshanaha, what is its own indicator, the indicator for the self or indicator for the Brahman? Again, it's sata, the existence. So we already talked about existence as being its nature. So here, one thing you could say about this is, okay, I sense there's presence. I sense there's just existence. Now, because I sense it, meaning it still is, there still is some subject object there, you can say. I am sensing it. Since I sense it, then that isn't the thing in itself, because again, there's some subtle subject object. Because right now I say I see things, I hear things, I feel things, so that's a little grosser. But then I go to the more subtle, where I put aside, I feel there's presence, I feel there's existence. So that is the lakshanaha. That is the indicator for the pure existence. Because as long as there is subject-object, then it's still qualified. There is still separation. Separation means limitation. Because the moment something can be separate, there's a limit. And we'll get to the limitation in a moment too. But that's why this is the indicator of Brahman, not Brahman itself. Okay? But that's a very good indicator, because yes, there's just pure presence. I sense pure presence. That pure presence I'm sensing is the indicator. Because in itself, there won't be, I'm sensing something. Right? I just am. I am, and that's it. There's only isness, satchit, only isness, consciousness, presence, that just is. So that's what this is pointing out here. Okay, satta swalakshanaha, that is its very good indicator. So just like within myself, I'm conscious, that's an indicator of the chit. And satta, that I experience presence, the indicator of sat. Like this. One Mahatma, disciple Swami Dayananji here, he's not here now, but that he was saying once, he was saying how what happens is we're not so much interested in sat. We're not so interested in chit. We want ananda, right? We want to be happy, we want to be content. Like this. That's really what we're after. But the thing is, you know, so we're looking for that, but this is the way to find, because you have to, if you have the satchit and you really get clarity in sat and chit, the ananda will come with it. You don't have the clarity that doesn't come, the ananda won't be, there'll be some passing thing. So this is the issue with that. Okay, so then this is the indicator, subtle indicator. It's very nice, because indicator for something, the most subtle, have to be something very subtle. So this is a very nice indicator like that. Just the one simple presence. Now, after that says Purnaha. Purnaha is whole or full, like, you know, the Purnamada, Purnamidam mantra. 1 year here, in the retreat here, so somebody asked Swami Tatviranandji, can he explain the Purnamada mantra, right? What we say at the end of the class. Because what happens in the program in the evening, some questions, question answers, so ask that. He said, I want to explain it to you now. They had one of the retreats in Arizona where he talked about it. It's in one of the Upanishads, we're in detail. So then it's a series of, you know, 30 lectures or whatever. He said, listen to those. So I listened and took notes and everything. Very much worth listening to. You can find it online because they're in great detail. But that's aside, so Purna. So being whole, meaning spaceless, timeless. And what happens? We say, okay, it's whole. Now, what does it mean that it's whole? So this was analyzed, what type of limitations could something have? So we say desha, kala, vastu. Desha, space, kala, time, vastu, object. So if you have a limitation of an object, right? So for instance, I have the cup here, a travel mug. We'll call it right, a travel mug over here, so it has warm water. So what happens is, it's a travel mug, and I have a laptop in front of me. Now, because it's a travel mug, it's not a laptop. The fact that it's some object, it can't be the other object, right? If it's something small, it means it can't be big, relatively. Of course, you'll find a smaller object, but I'm saying relative sense like this. So that's limitation of object. The moment it's one object, it can't be the other objects. You know, yes, some objects will be a few things, like the older thing would be the Swiss Army knife, right? Now, the cell phone, you know, it's going to be a gadget that has as many things. But still, the moment you have one thing, it's not everything else. So that's already a limitation, right? Here. So that's one limitation. So if the Brahman, the universal consciousness, the Sat that we're looking at, if that is going to be limited by some object, now it's something limited. It's not Purana. So it's kind of like when you have the when you have all the ornaments and the gold, that's why that's given. Or you've all the waves, and you have waves, and you have currents, and you have foam. All this, it's all water. So the water isn't limited by, because it is in and through all of those. So just because different expressions come didn't change what the substance was. So that's why the substance of everything can't be limited by the external form, how it appears right now, how it's manifest. Because it's the substance, it doesn't change. Just like the water and the wave, the substance is the same. So that's one thing with Purana. If it was limited by a certain object, then that couldn't be. Then again, it's limited. The moment's limited, it can't be the substance of everything. It can't be what is the universal. So that's one limitation. Then you have a limitation in space, right? And that's desha, that was vastu, and you have desha, space. Now in space, what happens is, look, the whole space itself isn't there prior to creation, right? Prior to creation, where's the space? It has to come out from whatever is primordial there. If it was limited space, that's why Brahman means also spaceless. That which is spaceless. Because space is, yes, it's not limited on the one hand, but still anything within the space will be limited. Limited in the space, but the space itself has limitation, because space itself also will come and go. Right? Space eventually goes away. So Purana can't be limited somewhere in the space, but the space is coming from that. Okay. Next verse actually will go into the creation, so then it can talk more about that. But that's another place where it cannot have that type of limitation. If it's limited there, then again, it wouldn't be substance of everything, because after you substance of space as well, because space is part of the creation itself. So that's where we say also not limited by the space. An interesting thing with the space, though, is I perceive the objects, right? I perceive the different objects through the senses. But then the space, I don't perceive through the senses. Because how can you perceive the space, right? You say, oh yeah, I know there's space because I see the wall down there, so there's a lot of space here. I see the stars are so far away, so there's space there. But you're not seeing the space, you're seeing objects, right? Space itself is, we can only know through the mind. You can't know directly. It's not something that you're perceiving as a physical thing. So it's really, in the end, it's not going to be outside of the mind, right? Like this, show it, otherwise how can you know it? It has to be something that is tangible to the senses in order to experience it outside, like this. So it's really without the mind, there's no space for you like this. But that's not the essence here. So can't be limited by space. Now by time, if something isn't, first of all, something's not limited by space, it can't be limited by time. They both go together because, like, you go to deep sleep, there's no space, there's no time. There's no object either, right? So no space or time. So they come together, they go together. Before creation, where's space, where's time? Creation starts, meaning there's space and time. You're really present, where's space and time? Right? They're there. When there's movement in the mind, they're there. That's the interesting thing. Mind is movement. Actually, any limited individual, I'm a limited individual, so I'm limited by object because there are other objects around. I'm not that. I'm not them, so I'm limited in space too, and also limited in time, because I have a start date and I have an end date, like this. The moment it's something individual. But the moment you go to universal, how are you going to find these limitations? Because all these appear within the universal. You can't say that they're within it, that their attribute, that it's also limited within that. Because what happens is this, is what is jagat, what is the world, right? Jagat, that comes from the root gam, to go, meaning it's going, changing. The world is something that's constantly changing. In order for something to change, to move, there has to be something unchanging behind it, some base behind it. The example they give is when you have the train going, you need to have the train track be there and steady. If you don't have a stable train track, how's it going to go? So anything to move, there has to be something steady there, some steady base that's not moving. So the whole universe, the whole manifest world is something that is constantly changing. So since it's constantly changing, there's some unchangeable background. There has to be. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense if that's changing too. So where's the base? Where does it start from, right? Where does it culminate? Doesn't make sense. So that's why here, Purna, it's not limited by space, not by time. Meaning it's not, okay, there's space, now there's something larger than the space. Space includes everything, means that it has to be a different, you know, in the end, it has to be from different level of reality, because otherwise, otherwise how can there be something outside of, there's nothing outside of space, right? And time, what is outside of time? It's not that it's a very long time. Oh, is there before time started, after time ends? Meaning it's not, time is not an object that affects it. And you look at yourself that, you know, where time is going by, but there's something same in you all the time, right? Look at early in the day, this morning you got up, you were doing things. There's something same there as is now. You look a year back, you know, another year back, any year back, look, maybe you take a memory from 1 year ago, from 2 years ago, from 3 years ago, keep going as far back as you want till childhood. Something is the same all the time. Body is changing, mind is changing, everything around is changing, but you're the same, something is same. So there has to be the base, which is, if within you there wasn't a base that's the same, how come the memory from childhood says me? It'll be like a third person thing, because something has to connect it to it. Something is the same then as now, right? So something has to always be the same. So here in the universal scale, we say, Purna, it has to be unchanging. Because if it's changing, means it's part of the manifest world. But what is the substance behind? It has to be the unchanging. Otherwise it wouldn't... You will have not reached the bottom yet, like this. Okay, it wouldn't. You would say still be, you know, somewhere still maybe in some subtle part of it, but not absolute there. So that's why, Purnaha, and anything else, Purna isn't full. It's still lacking something. There's a one scientist. He's no more. He was near 100 at the time. name not coming to my mind right now, was an astronomer. Very interesting. It was John Dobson, very famous. He only had a bachelor's degree in physics, like this, very famous. So he once gave a talk in the ashram, in Shivananda Ashram. He talked about how the movement of the universe is happening out of frustration, because the moon is falling, trying to reach the earth, but it can't reach. The planets are falling to the sun, trying to reach, but they can't. The galaxy is spinning, trying to fall, but it can't. So it's just a poetic way of saying like this, but meaning anything limited is moving, trying to get to somewhere, but it can never get there like this. Where really what happens is the underlying doesn't have to get anywhere like this. When there's fullness, you don't need to go anywhere. Your deep sleep, you're full. You don't need to go. Nothing is needed. So it says that is what the Brahman is, the fullness. No lack, nothing can be added, nothing can be removed. This purna, add anything to it, add anything to infinite, it's still infinite. Take anything out, it's still infinite. You can't really add or take out, it's just figurative. You can't really do that. There it's really add names and forms, remove names and forms. That's really what the Puranamada mantra is about, because you can't add or remove. But, you know, you have so much gold, make more ornaments, less ornaments, you know, melt it down this, you always have the same gold. It's the same, you always have the same Brahman like this. So it's Purana, you can't put any change, any limitation on it, it doesn't work. So this again, in order to point, don't think that any object's not an object, right? Anything else within space, it's not space. Space cannot limit it. Space is a mental idea, which this is beyond that mental idea. And time is also the change, movement of mind. It can't be with that. And actually with the time, the change happening in time, as we have discussed earlier also, is that the only direct experience you have is the present moment. Because the past is memory and future is projection. So time this way, also you need memory to have time. So you need memory, so you need the mind for it. Without it, where is it? That's why when you're present, the limitation seems much less, like it's dropping away when you're present. So Swami Shivananda, he had written about that. He would say, don't think samadhi is some special state somewhere. It's right here and now. Because if you're really now, there's no limitation. So you find it right here now. Then fullness is here. The moment I bring my historic self, the moment I'm trying to project future in this, then all these limitations fall upon you. The moment you drop them, where is the limitation? Like this. And that's what the Mahatmas I've seen, they're very much in the present. They don't have so much projection future past in this. Like one time, Swami Ram Surupanandaji, who is no more, he used to stay with us in the summers for a few weeks every year. So one time I went with him, and he went to the Livermore Temple. He was going to give a talk there. And we were sitting in some small room there, he's chatting with myself and one other person that we were bringing him. And he was chatting like this, chatting away. Then we went to the auditorium, maybe 10 people, whatever, came to talk. He said, oh, please come sit close. And he talked and everything. For him, doesn't matter how many people are there, that's, you know, no difference. He's just talking, whatever. Then when it finished, one lady was there. Oh, Swamiji, can you come to my house sometime? Yes, let's go. Like this, there's no, at the most, there's no always present at the moment what's needed. That's what's needed at that place and time like this. Again, it doesn't mean spontaneous and not being responsible. If he had a duty, he'd say, yes, call me tomorrow, let's see, obviously. But that was just example of, you know, in the present, really in the present, there isn't the worry for future, the past, because those they see beyond it. That's it's a practical thing, but not a but not something to be hung up about because they see the lack of substance in it. So all these paramatma iti giyate. So this is the universal self. What it, this satchit ananda, with which is the fullness, which is, you know, you feel the presence that is indicating it, the presence where you're dropping the ideas of objects of time and all this, you drop those, that indicates that this is what this paramatma is. Giyate, meaning it's pointed out by the Rishi, pointing out the Upanishads in this way. Okay, so this is a few of the pointers that it gives to it. And actually, very interestingly, it did give here some of the positive. Remember we said the more negative, there are two ways it'll be pointed out. First, negatively, and then positively, like this, where the negative is the more important, but you're giving some positive ones too. But the moment you talk about the positive ones, it really, you're seeing it's negating things. Okay, you say existence. What do you mean per existence? Well, put aside the limited names and forms, what you see and what you hear, then what's there. So really, you're... it is of some positive attribute, but within it will include so much negation because we're used to clumping those things on with it. So that's why, in the end, mostly negation is needed. Negation and then puranamevavashishate. Only the fullness remains. It's there. It just, we're cluttering it up. We have to empty out the other stuff, see it clearly, and then, and then we can relax. So one time in Shivananda Ashram, this is a story that happened. Some very high known spiritual leader there. I don't know who he was. He came to see Swami Shivananda because he was very curious, because this Vedanta is not as popular as many other philosophies, and so he came and talked to Swami Shivananda. He said, "Okay, so let's say no Brahman, then what afterwards? What do you do after?" So he said, then you just have your yogurt, rice, and pickles. You probably have a way to say in Tamil, that the Tamil people will know that I don't know Tamil like this. You just do that and relax. Meaning they'll think, okay, get there, and then what? There isn't and then what. And then what means still, it's the movement to the mind, still the manifest. The essence, there's no then what. The essence, you know, whatever still needs to be done is done. But the essence, you know, the essence, that's the important thing. Then the rest becomes just like a play, if you want, like this. Or similar along these lines is when I first went to the ashram in Uttarkashi. So I went there and met Swami Premanandaji. So he is a disciple of Swami Shivananda. So since we know so much about Swami Shivananda, because our guru is disciple Swami Shivananda, so I wanted to hear from Swami Premanandaji's some things about Swami Shivananda. So he said, "Yeah, no problem, just come anytime." So I came, and then he sat at the time in this small veranda, and he had, then there was a landline, there weren't other things like that, small desk, he had the phone there, and the kitchen was just behind him. And what would happen is I came and sat sometime in the morning, and he was so busy, so many people coming, this, that, happening, everything. They'd say, "Oh, give him something to eat." They'd feed me, and I'd sit for a half hour, 1 hour. He's so busy, people are coming and going. So then I would just do pranam, and I'd leave. And then I came for a few days. Same thing was happening again and again, so I kept coming. After a few days, then one day when I sat there, I said, "Okay, let's talk." And he closed the window and door. For like 1 hour or so, nobody came. Interesting. Till then, it was always so busy, but that day like this. And then he was pointing out how, from science perspective, philosophically, experientially, like every point he was saying, how the world is unreal from each perspective like this. He was just pointing out. He said, because of this, Swami Shivanandaji was always very lax and joking because for him the world was unreal. That's what he told me at that one time. So I heard many other stories since from him over the years, but the main thing is that's in the end, that's what we're looking for. So That's why, you know, these pointers are there for us to really do the shravanam, to hear that it helps to point and then reflect on it, make it clear, like this, learn to the nididhyasanam, how to meditate on it. It's not how to see it from that angle as it becomes clear, because anything else is still within the changing, going one thing to the next, and then we're not getting to where we want. So that's the importance of this. With that, let's finish for today. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Very good. So,
I have one question.
Oh, please. Yeah, please.
You know, when you talked about the sub, about breaking down things to their very, very smallest essence, how does that then equate to it being sub?
Well,
I missed something there, I think.
Well, it's the existence, meaning what is everything made out of, right? We say Brahman, or we can say Sat, is what everything is made out of. So I take the computer, it has parts. What is the part made out of? That part is made out of a certain material, that material out of molecules. Keep going down. Eventually, you have to get to the base element if you go far enough, where, because the base element will be what everything is made out of in the end, right? So,
but doesn't that still reduce to a particulate matter?
Well, look, particles will go to energy. So if you keep going. Now, you don't have to do all the steps, because it's not possible. If you do all the steps, it's going to be ad infinitum.
Right.
If science goes on for a million years, they'll go to smaller, they'll get to more and more subtle, because eventually it has to, because to really get to the sat, eventually the sat and chit have to merge. They're not separate, because otherwise they're still limited. I'm still looking at the sat, meaning it's limited, and I'm the limit to an observing it.
Right.
So that's how we said, if you really removed everything, because this is just in order to show, yes, everything has to be made out of this primordial thing. Next week's class, actually, we'll discuss more about a little about creation to clarify it a little more. But again, from this perspective, you say, okay, so everything is the pure. So the only way to really get to it is the awareness itself has to expand to that too. Meaning I have to, all my limitation, I have to forget, just be that. Then the sat and chit neither are limited. They can't be separate then. So that's why we say the consciousness, sat and chit, consciousness and the substance, the existence, will not be two different things, because eventually they're both the unlimited. So that's in order to show, yes, you keep going down, you'll get to this, but you can't do that exercise for understanding. But this exercise you can do, because it is, you know, directly our direct experience, when it's uncluttered by the other stuff, or not confused by the other stuff, like that. That helps to clarify. Yeah. Good. Very good. So, but somebody else is asking, because, no.
Maybe it's a general question.
Please,
are you
please.
Behaving?
Yeah, please.
So, it is understandable. Also, you could feel the consciousness in the present and all that. It almost feels a bit daunting that leaving desires it almost feels impossible. Like, you know, we need the psychological security of, you know, possessions and relationships and all that. So you have such a strong desire to for that, right? So how do we, is it like just, do your practices and do all this nidhi asanam and it'll make it better? Is that it? So I just hope and do that's the.
Well, what happens is when we were children, well, I'll give you a nice example. Well, when we were children, we had certain toys, toy cars or dolls, whatever, and then we grew out of them, right? So the worldly desire is similar, we have to grow out of. We can't suppress and throw them away. It's like the child, the mother didn't say, stop playing with the toy cars. The boy was 5, 6. When he was 12, he stopped doing it. He was interested in playing outside with his friends, right? So same way, if we keep looking into as we grow with the understanding, these desires would lessen. So it's not something we can just push aside, but if we look into like this, then slowly, naturally they would drop away. This is the thing. So of course, for looking into these things, some discipline, lifestyle, very important and everything. But the thing is, we can't just, it's not something you can suppress or throw away, that's for sure. What, you look into these things and see for yourself, look from Jewish some time and you see that some things you were interested in before, not anymore. So let the things happen in their own course like this. That's how it is. Okay. So you can't just make it happen. There's one example that they give is if there's the bud in the flower and you're waiting a few days, it's not opening, you're very curious, so you go and you try to open it, right? Now it'll happen. So you can't make these things happen. That's why you have to just be patient with it. But again, you look into these things and keep disciplined lifestyle, whatever the sadhana you do, and then look into them slowly, slowly, naturally. Other things become let will drop away if you want. Like that.
Gajananamji,
Yes.
is the, I guess, the point or one of the points of the practice to often you've said we try to remove the misidentification of the self with all these things that are not really the self, they're just the namarupa. But it seems like we to be in this sort of human form, like we still need the stuff, we still need all the things. Like, is the point to kind of, I don't know, like a clothes rack, like to be able to put on the different clothes, put on all the different forms, understand all the different things, and then just not misidentify that that is what we are, not be limited by it? Or is the point to actually be in that, a waking version of that deep sleep where it all really doesn't matter?
Well, one thing about, and we would speak theoretically, because when somebody knows, they'll have no question about it, right? But the thing is, those who we say are jnanis will still be using some items. They'll be living simply, and living simply is very useful for anything like this, right? So simple lifestyle is useful. But the thing is, it'll be using things as needed, right? As needed, and not, and again, that'll be for the. Were the worldly transactions they're there for ident but the issue is the identity. So the clarity you're not, let's say some out of this, they know they're not the body. Okay, it's still they're going to take care of the body, right? It's not well they take medicine or do whatever healthy thing needed for it, but they'll use it like an instrument. They won't abuse it, but then they know they're not that. So probably similarly, whatever is needed for what's necessary will be used. Whatever not, then why have it there? That's probably how it'd be done like this. So the goal and having clarity, because we're looking for something. We want to be content. We want to find peace, and that's where you can find it. Otherwise, it's still part of the changing. And then this is how you find and. The only way you can find, according to Vedanta, is you find that this is it is you. Right? The other things, those are whatever it has to be, it'll be. You can say like this. That's not the essential or important. It'll work out how it's supposed to, and probably, like the, again, something simple, what's needed will be used, whatever's not won't be used. That's what I think. I hope that
yes,
helps
yes.
something with it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. That's, I have to think about that one. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a good answer. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you all very much. So next week we're still at this time, because I'll still be here next week. So next year, same time we do it, okay? Very good. So thank you for coming. We'll see you next time. Okay. Oh.
Thank you. Have a good retreat.
Thank you.